Do you realize if the world goes down, it's your fault, Oberle?
Yes, this is tape number 3 on May the 2nd, 1992.
You have your prophecies tampered with, but because they were so pointed, so vaguely pointed, that ones didn't know really how to tamper with them. You had the truth buried up in there, and when the adversary wrote the book, all of them, you see, no offense. I mean, absolutely no offense. Nora happens to like the Geneva Bible, and John Coleman really likes the Geneva Bible. It was already, when King James did his thing, what King James did was object to portions of the Bible that he didn't like, so he had it rewritten. Well, the Geneva Bible is no better. If you have tamperings with the truth, it doesn't matter how many versions of it you have, it's still not right. And my friend John Bocco from Florida sees pretty clearly. He's done a lot of research into it. But Nora found him out. You see, there are 12 tribes of Israel. Judaism, Jewishness, whatever you want to call that religion, is exactly that. It is a religion. Zionism is a political party. Neither of which makes Jewish a blood race. So to say that you have Jewish blood doesn't mean a flipping thing. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. That's like saying you have Methodist blood. But it does make Ed Cleary have Catholic blood. Because he spent 35 years doing that. And that makes him an authority, you see. It also makes him bright. He could enjoy it for the experience it was and recognize it for its non-truth. And that makes you a whole person. It doesn't make you turn around and hate. It makes you maybe clever as the serpent, creative and wise and quiet as the dove.
Thank you, Commander.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Would you like me to repeat it?
That'd be a good idea.
Once is.
But these are disappointing things to find out. And yet hidden in the revelation is the truth. John saw it coming, but he didn't see any more than any one of you has a capability of seeing. Because whether you like it or do not like it, you have already experienced it. You know exactly what it is and how it will come to be. And as the ending story was written, it was written in such a way that you would march according to the rules, to the drumbeat, if you will, of the adversary. And you would pull off revelations exactly as written. That's the ability of a good fortune teller who tells you you're going to die on Thursday in front of a Ford. You won't die in front of a Chevrolet. You will wait until you get a Ford. And perhaps that's a great deal of oversimplification. But so far, not enough of you have awakened to realize that you don't have to do the rest of it to be able to change it. And here comes the free will choice of any experiencing manifestation of man. You will be allowed right up until that very end and into a translation, if you will, to come into your senses, to see the power that you actually have. And yet you ones don't really have the privilege of going out there and saying, I have this power and I'm going to do this differently. Because you do not perceive basically that you can do it, and you would not want to take that power, because that would be usurping the power of another in free will. You have no right to force yourself on another. They are making this same journey, and they have a right to do it in their way. But anything coming into your space, you do have a right to control. But it means that you have to come into and through your lessons so that you know what it is. And so that it is never used or misused, as the case may be. That's called wisdom. And that gets you up on the higher planes with God. Because you never utilize what is another's. Only that which is yours. And a lot of you who are smart enough will say, aha, that's everything, isn't it? Because we've also said that all things are only one thing. But you're manifest into what appears to be your reality. But what you actually are doing is trying to bring yourself awake and remember how it was that you got into this, pull yourself on out of this, and come back home to the reality and the wholeness of that other existence within light. Because something tells you it's a pretty good and exciting journey. And that this one simply represents all I can see, all my consciousness can hold, and so I clutch at it. And because in this experience you must function as the experience functions, you have to acquire whatever you utilize from that environment. And from that environment, you must take and create, just as you were created from the environment called universe. And it means releasing a lot of the very immediate things. Study the situations as they unfold carefully, and then let them go, having learned what it is. Learn the secret of the moment. Learn the secret. Because God holds no secrets. They're only not yet unfolded to you. The adversary holds everything in secret. We're getting there. We are getting there. And yet you ones are going to have to put aside. And I have to repeat, if you have not studied all of the material, all the talking that I can do in here at this moment will not help you understand or comprehend it. Well, tell me a different way. Well, I can't tell you a different way. In many instances, there is only one way to tell you, and that's how it is. And that's why we did it the way we did it. So you could have it and then go reference it, research it, and see it for the simplicity that it is. With each civilization that has gone down, and yes, they went down, they rolled over. You had basically the civilization going, and always a few of remnant left in some of these places, either taken off and brought back. But the planet sustained itself. The hope would be that you would allow this planet to be sustained in its form. I mean its overall mass, its form. At that point, that mostly which is above land, I mean above water, would go underwater. That's cleansing. And then as the old rises again, you have the fertile lands after the salt is washed away, etc. But you can see that for the span of a man's life, you could do nothing. So you've got to do two things. You've got to increase the length of man's life so that in these experiences you can last longer. Or you've got to get some technology to rebuild rapidly. And unless your soul intellect grows, you will not have the ability to do that. You will still be the primitive consciousness. This evolution is more important because there is the possibility of destroying the planet as it exists, as it was manifest in creation. Well, does that make a big lot of difference? Not unless it's you. Doesn't really, because plans are underway to make sure that it doesn't upset the universal order. But you have a higher consciousness. And if you leave your job undone, it goes beyond karma. It goes into something that tells your soul that it's unfinished. And that's what's important. And that's why you are back. You have served many times, many, many places, in the higher commands, in the space commands. But you have accepted this particular mission. And it must be acted out at the same level of all other actions on the place around you. So you're not going to have the great advantage other than knowing that if we get it done, that it will be unfolded as we need it unfolded for our use. And this happens to be one of the major places to play this game. And many ones will be able to confirm that for you, in that this is knowledge known by the elite. And that's why you have the kind of building facilities in this particular area that you have. geologists can go and confirm the rest of what I say about just the geological lay of the land. Starting out the middle of that Mojave Desert, when that San Andreas goes, and you have an impact against the tectonic plate called the North American, you're going to have that Pacific plate just shove right up under and move to the north and to the east. And that has to push this land upward. So the Mojave will rise. And this is going to happen at a depth that all those facilities should rise right with it. Then whatever takes place on the surface, you see, would still give housing underneath in those facilities and in those tunnels. Also, some of these tunnels are built to withstand being underwater. You would think of the city that I'm talking about off the Philippines, if these atmospherians can walk around on the bottom of the ocean and utilize the things from the sea, that perhaps that city is underwater. Well, it's underwater, but it's not underwater like it's dry underwater. And a lot of the entrances into those caves are also underwater. But some of the caves are above ground, above the water line.
Is Mount Banahaw one of the entrances?
Try again.
Mount Banahaw?
No, I hear him. I hear him. I'm scanning. There is an opening, yes. Let's not blow it up. It'll be a lot easier for all of us if we don't do that.
Can I tell the story?
I would hear a story.
I heard this not so long ago from these people who were over in the Philippines, who were right in this particular area, which is that longitude so and so, the latitude so and so. They were diving, about four of them. Not quite atmospherians, but they could get into it if it needed to be. But there was this one guy, Carporian, I think we call it, and he had all this stuff. He was down diving and licking and licking and licking. But all of a sudden, here were these three people right in front of him, great big guys, 9 foot. They were just coming at him. And so he went, and he came up, and his nose was bleeding because he was getting out of it. The other three took their time and came up in time. And then they told this guy, "Now, don't you ever do that again. You scare these people. We don't want that to happen anymore." Get it? That's all the story I heard.
Well, you who know so much about the Philippines out there, do you have any stories to share? You see, a lot of these seem to be old wives' tales or old tribal myths, oral traditions. You got to know something about oral traditions.
Good.
They mean something. These are the only truths. Now, they will be expressed in very strange forms. And so through the years, it gets distorted. But you will find that those original stories match and they are very, very real. But the consciousness of the experiencing entity can only judge those stories by what he has experienced. And ones can talk about vaporized or beings that walk on the bottom of the sea that are luminescent and are really quite vaporous, but have form. And it doesn't mean anything, but I'll tell you, the one who zoomed to the top with his nose bleeding with the bends, that oral tradition became reality right fast. That's what we're trying to get you ready for. So that when you are on the bottom of the ocean and you meet your brother, you don't get the bends. You accept that as the most gracious thing that could possibly be. And you don't join with the masses in breaking out the windows and looting the stores. You know there's a higher purpose for everything. And the Philippine Islands and parts of Malaysia are some of the most sacred places that you will ever find on the planet itself, ever, in every, any incarnation of life on the planet. There are some places that simply have always been and will always be. And you would wonder, well, is it just because there was a war and somehow the Philippines were involved? Well, let me ask you why the Philippines would have been involved then. It's not a large place. These are very simple, open, wondrous people. Certainly they were perfect. Just as the ones in the Hawaiian Islands were perfect. And the rest of you came to their place and brought in perfection. Is that good or bad? It is neither one. It is the way that it would be, and the way that it is. But it's not sitting there for no reason. Right now, it appears simply to be a jewel in an ocean. But every island that extends above the water has massiveness beyond the water. And if it got up there, that meant an awful lot of it got under there. Or it has a long way to rise. There were great temples on those mountains. There were great buildings on those mountains. They were more superb than the Tibetan Himalayas. And you may well live in this generation to see it again. Especially if we do our work. Because you would be the ones who would be the experiencing seers. And I don't know about you, but I like that. Yeah. I like that.
You too. You too. Hello?
Please.
My mother is here for her first encounter with you. She's been dying to see you for a long time.
Can I ask some question?
Yes.
And you tell me how the Filipino people came about as a nation and how we came to be called bird people and what is our affinity with the old civilization of Lemuria?
You were old Lemuria. You were the central, most wondrous, central light of the continent. This particular area right here, and Australia, and parts of Peru, were parts of old Lemuria. But along about the area where the Philippines are located and why it would come to be at this particular given period of historical evolvement is because the center of knowledge was there. You call the bird people because we are all of the bird tribes. We're considered the bird tribes because we travel to and from, and mostly to and from Pleiades, because they are your ancestral place and mine for this portion of the universe. There are many planets. Earth Shan is an exchangeable, interchangeable placement for ones from Pleiades constellation. You are part of Pleiades central sun system. And when we spoke of the belt, the photon belt, for instance, this is an invisible belt because it reflects. Photons are light. But it makes a tremendous difference in the density of everything existing within it. And it makes travel to and from the system very much speeded up and very much more feasible. But you will have always the myths to the thunder people, the thunder gods, the thunder birds. Always, this is why the phoenix is your symbol, because it is the representative bird of the eagles that rises periodically. That evolves periodically. Usually it, and it's customary for it to rise from its own ashes. But that's symbolic. That is symbolic. It is simply known in the universal order that all things cycle. And therefore, periodically will come the bird tribes again. And you are the bird tribes. I am the bird tribes. We have traveled this way before. We will travel this way again. All of you who didn't get enough of it this time. And in the overall scheme of experience, you will get bored. And you will probably do it again. But you won't have the privilege of the cop-out. And something inside you tells you this now. You want me to tell you over and over and over, and you want to really feel this. Well, you're severed from that. You're not allowed that. The game plan was that you would experience like Joe next door. And maybe he's a bigger bird than you are. But he doesn't know it either. And this is why it becomes our responsibility to bring the word, send it forth. If he refuses to listen or look, you let it alone. Because the ones who are to hear will hear. And find the truth of it hits inside, and you know, I have to look at this. And you ones are more prone to get into mischief than all of the rest of the world put together. I didn't say criminal activities, I said mischief. Because you're searching and you want to experience and you know you have a mission. This is why the kids in school, this is why the CIA does so well. They come to the colleges and they can suck you in. They can suck you in easier than anybody. Because you can have a cause. And you have creative minds. And this is a challenge to you. And you get bored easily. Let's get on with the disaster of this world today, because I started it day before yesterday and I'm bored with it. Tell me what's going to happen the rest of the month. I could ask any one of you in here and you would give me very wise answers. You know what's going to happen. Do you realize if the world goes down, it's your fault, Oberle?
Yes, this is tape number 3 on May the 2nd, 1992.
You have your prophecies tampered with, but because they were so pointed, so vaguely pointed, that once didn't know really how to tamper with them. You had the truth buried up in there, and when the adversary wrote the book, all of them, you see, no offense, I mean absolutely no offense, Nora happens to like the Geneva Bible, and John Coleman really likes the Geneva Bible. It was already, when King James did his thing, what King James did was object to portions of the Bible that he didn't like, so he had it rewritten. Well, the Geneva Bible is no better. If you have tamperings with the truth, it doesn't matter how many versions of it you have, it's still not right. And my friend John Boko from Florida sees pretty clearly. He's done a lot of research into it. But Nora found him out. You see, there aren't 12 tribes of Israel. Judaism, Jewishness, whatever you want to call that religion, is exactly that. It is a religion. Zionism is a political party. Neither of which makes Jewish a blood race. So to say that you have Jewish blood doesn't mean a flipping thing. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. That's like saying you have Methodist blood. But it does make Ed Cleary have Catholic blood. Because he spent 35 years doing that. And that makes him an authority, you see. It also makes him bright. He could enjoy it for the experience it was and recognize it for its non-truth. And that makes you a whole person. It doesn't make you turn around and hate. It makes you maybe clever as the serpent. Creative. And wise and quiet as the dove.
Thank you, Commander.
You're welcome. Would you like me to repeat it?
That'd be a good idea.
Once is.
But these are disappointing things to find out. And yet hidden in the revelation is the truth. John saw it coming, but he didn't see any more than any one of you has a capability of seeing. Because whether you like it or do not like it, you have already experienced it. You know exactly what it is and how it will come to be. And as the ending story was written, it was written in such a way that you would march according to the rules, to the drumbeat, if you will, of the adversary. And you would pull off revelations exactly as written. That's the ability of a good fortune teller who tells you you're going to die on Thursday in front of a Ford. You won't die in front of a Chevrolet. You will wait until you get a Ford. And perhaps that's a great deal of oversimplification. But so far, not enough of you have awakened to realize that you don't have to do the rest of it to be able to change it. And here comes the free will choice of any experiencing manifestation of man. You will be allowed right up until that very end and into a translation, if you will, to come into your senses, to see the power that you actually have. And yet you ones don't really have the privilege of going out there and saying, I have this power and I'm going to do this differently. Because you do not perceive basically that you can do it, and you would not want to take that power, because that would be usurping the power of another in free will. You have no right to force yourself on another. They are making this same journey, and they have a right to do it in their way. But anything coming into your space, you do have a right to control. But it means that you have to come into and through your lesson so that you know what it is. And so that it is never used or misused, as the case may be. That's called wisdom. And that gets you up on the higher planes with God. Because you never utilize what is another's, only that which is yours. And a lot of you who are smart enough will say, aha, that's everything, isn't it? Because we've also said that all things are only one thing. But you're manifest into what appears to be your reality. But what you actually are doing is trying to bring yourself awake and remember how it was that you got into this, pull yourself on out of this, and come back home to the reality and the wholeness of that other existence within light. Because something tells you it's a pretty good and exciting journey. And this one simply represents all I can see, all my consciousness can hold, and so I clutch at it. And because in this experience you must function as the experience functions, you have to acquire whatever you utilize from that environment. And from that environment, you must take and create, just as you were created from the environment called universe. And it means releasing a lot of the very immediate things. Study the situations as they unfold carefully, and then let them go, having learned what it is. Learn the secret of the moment. Learn the secret, because God holds no secrets. They're only not yet unfolded to you. The adversary holds everything in secret. We're getting there. We are getting there. And yet you ones are going to have to put aside. And I have to repeat, if you have not studied all of the material, all the talking that I can do in here at this moment will not help you understand or comprehend it. Well, tell me a different way. Well, I can't tell you a different way. In many instances, there is only one way to tell you, and that's how it is. And that's why we did it the way we did it. So you could have it and then go reference it, research it, and see it for the simplicity that it is. With each civilization that has gone down, and yes, they went down, they rolled over. You had basically the civilization going, and always a few of remnant left in some of these places, either taken off and brought back, but the planet sustained itself. The hope would be that you would allow this planet to be sustained in its form. I mean its overall mass, its form. At that point, that mostly which is above land, I mean above water, would go underwater. That's cleansing. And then as the old rises again, you have the fertile lands after the salt is washed away, etc. But you can see that for the span of a man's life, you could do nothing. So you've got to do two things. You've got to increase the length of man's life so that in these experiences you can last longer. Or you've got to get some technology to rebuild rapidly. And unless your soul intellect grows, you will not have the ability to do that. You will still be the primitive consciousness. This evolution is more important because there is the possibility of destroying the planet as it exists, as it was manifest in creation. Well, does that make a big lot of difference? Not unless it's you. Doesn't really, because plans are underway to make sure that it doesn't upset the universal order. But you have a higher consciousness. And if you leave your job undone, it goes beyond karma. It goes into something that tells your soul that it's unfinished. And that's what's important. And that's why you are back. You have served many times, many, many places, in the higher commands, in the space commands. But you have accepted this particular mission. and it must be acted out at the same level of all other actions on the place around you. So you're not going to have the great advantage other than knowing that if we get it done, that it will be unfolded as we need it unfolded for our use. And this happens to be one of the major places to play this game. And many ones will be able to confirm that for you, in that this is knowledge known by the elite. And that's why you have the kind of building facilities in this particular area that you have. Geologists can go and confirm the rest of what I say about just the geological lay of the land. Starting out the middle of that Mojave Desert, when that San Andreas goes, and you have an impact against the tectonic plate called the North American, you're going to have that Pacific plate just shove right up under and move to the north and to the east. And that has to push this land upward. So the Mojave will rise. And this is going to happen at a depth that all those facilities should rise right with it. Then whatever takes place on the surface, you see, would still give housing underneath in those facilities and in those tunnels. Also, some of these tunnels are built to withstand being underwater. You would think of the city that I'm talking about off the Philippines, if these atmospherians can walk around on the bottom of the ocean and utilize the things from the sea, that perhaps that city is underwater. Well, it's underwater, but it's not underwater like it's dry underwater. And a lot of the entrances into those caves are also underwater. But some of the caves are above ground, above the waterline.
It's not Banahaw one of the entrances?
Try again.
Mount Banahaw?
No, I hear him. I hear him. I'm scanning. There is an opening, yes. Let's not blow it up. It'll be a lot easier for all of us if we don't do that.
Did I tell the story?
I would hear a story.
I heard this not so long ago. Some of these people who are over in the Philippines who were right in this particular area, which is at longitude so and so, the latitude so and so, they were diving. About four of them. One through three were not quite atmospherians, but they could get into it if it needed to be. But there was this one guy, Carporian, I think we call it, and he had all this stuff. He was down diving and licking and licking and licking. And all of a sudden, here were these three people right in front of him. They were big guys. 9 foot. They were just coming at him. And so he went, and he came up, and his nose was bleeding because he was getting out of it. The other three took their time. They came up in time. And then they told this guy, "Now, don't you ever do that again. You scare these people." We don't want that to happen anymore. Get it? That's all the story I heard.
Well, you who know so much about the Philippines out there, do you have any stories to share? You see, a lot of these seem to be old wives' tales or old tribal myths, oral traditions. You got to know something about oral traditions.
Good.
They mean something. These are the only truths. Now, they will be expressed in very strange forms. And so through the years, it gets distorted. But you will find that those original stories match. And they are very, very real. But the consciousness of the experiencing entity can only judge those stories by what he has experienced. And ones can talk about vaporized or beings that walk on the bottom of the sea that are luminescent and are really quite vaporous, but have form. And it doesn't mean anything, but I'll tell you, the one who zoomed to the top with his nose bleeding with the bends, that oral tradition became reality right fast. That's what we're trying to get you ready for. So that when you are on the bottom of the ocean and you meet your brother, you don't get the bends. You accept that as the most gracious thing that could possibly be. And you don't join with the masses in breaking out the windows and looting the stores. You know there's a higher purpose for everything. And the Philippine Islands and parts of Malaysia are some of the most sacred places that you will ever find on the planet itself, ever, in every, any incarnation of life on the planet. There are some places that simply have always been and will always be. And you would wonder, well, is it just because there was a war and somehow the Philippines were involved? Well, let me ask you why the Philippines would have been involved then. It's not a large place. These are very simple, open, wondrous people. Certainly they were perfect. Just as the ones in the Hawaiian Islands were perfect. And the rest of you came to their place and brought in perfection. Is that good or bad? It is neither one. It is the way that it would be and the way that it is. But it's not sitting there for no reason. Right now, it appears simply to be a jewel in an ocean. But every island that extends above the water has massiveness beyond the water. And if it got up there, that meant an awful lot of it got under there. Or it has a long way to rise. There were great temples on those mountains. There were great buildings on those mountains. They were more superb than the Tibetan Himalayas. And you may well live in this generation to see it again. Especially if we do our work. Because you would be the ones who would be the experiencing seers. And I don't know about you, but I like that. Yeah. I like that.
You too. You too.
Please.
My mother is here for her first encounter with you. She's been dying to see you for a long time.
Can I ask some questions?
Yes.
Can you tell me how the Filipino people came about as a nation and how we came to be called the bird people, and what is our affinity with the old civilization of Lemuria?
You were old Lemuria. You were the central, most wondrous, central light of the continent. This particular area right here, and Australia, and parts of Peru, were parts of old Lemuria. But along about the area where the Philippines are located, and why it would come to be at this particular given period of historical evolvement, is because the center of knowledge was there. You're called the bird people because we are all of the bird tribes. We're considered the bird tribes because we travel to and from, and mostly to and from Pleiades, because they are your ancestral place and mine for this portion of the universe. There are many planets. Earth Shan is an exchangeable, interchangeable placement for ones from Pleiades constellation. You are part of Pleiades' central sun system. And when we spoke of the belt, the photon belt, for instance, this is an invisible belt because it reflects. Photons are light. But it makes a tremendous difference in the density of everything existing within it. And it makes travel to and from the system very much speeded up and very much more feasible. But you will have always the myths to the thunder people, the thunder gods, the thunder birds. Always, this is why the phoenix is your symbol, because it is the representative bird of the eagles that rises periodically. That evolves periodically. Usually, it and it's customary for it to rise from its own ashes. But that's symbolic. That is symbolic. It is simply known in the universal order that all things cycle. And therefore, periodically will come the bird tribes again. And you are the bird tribes. I am the bird tribes. We have traveled this way before. We will travel this way again. All of you who didn't get enough of it this time. And in the overall scheme of experience, you will get bored. And you will probably do it again. But you won't have the privilege of the cop-out. And something inside you tells you this now. You want me to tell you over and over and over, and you want to really feel this. Well, you're severed from that. You're not allowed that. The game plan was that you would experience like Joe next door. And maybe he's a bigger bird than you are. But he doesn't know it either. And this is why it becomes our responsibility to bring the word, send it forth. If he refuses to listen or look, you let it alone. because the ones who are to hear will hear and find the truth of it hits inside, and you know, I have to look at this. And you ones are more prone to get into mischief than all of the rest of the world put together. I didn't say criminal activities, I said mischief. Because you're searching and you want to experience and you know you have a mission. This is why the kids in school, this is why the CIA does so well. They come to the colleges and they can suck you in. They can suck you in easier than anybody. Because you can have a cause and you have creative minds. And this is a challenge to you. And you get bored easily. Let's get on with the disaster of this world today, because I started it day before yesterday and I'm bored with it. Tell me what's going to happen the rest of the month. I could ask any one of you in here and you would give me very wise answers. You know what's going to happen.